Welcome to Libertarians Working for You with host Carla Howell. Our program explains how to solve the most critical problems we face in America today: unemployment, debt, healthcare affordability, high taxes, loss of personal freedoms, loss of privacy, threats of war, and more. Now, here is your host, Carla Howell.
Welcome to Libertarians Working for You. I'm Carla Howell, Political Director for the Libertarian Party in Washington, D.C. On Libertarians Working for You, we feature candidates running for office who will explain what they'll do to make your life better and to keep America prosperous, safe, and at peace. Today we're talking about the war on drugs. You've heard this proverb: if you always do what you've always done, you always get what you've always gotten. This describes America's century-old, abysmally failed war on drugs. We'll have two libertarian candidates join us today who are running for office this year and who aim to bring the failed war on marijuana and all drugs to a quick end. On the second half of the show, you'll hear from Tressa McElhaney, libertarian running for governor in Kansas, about what she plans to do to end today's deadly drug prohibition. But first, we'll talk with Arvin Vohra, the libertarian candidate for Congress running in Maryland's 4th District. Arvin Vohra is an educator, an author, and an outstanding Libertarian Party activist. He's an at-large member of the Libertarian National Committee and heads the volunteer team that creates content for the party's Facebook page. He runs a private tutoring business and has authored two books on education, including The Equation for Excellence: How to Make Your Child Excel at Math. Arvin Vohra is passionate about downsizing many areas of big government, including the drug prohibition. Arvin, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me on, Carla.
What inspired you to run for Congress?
I wanted to be in a position where I could make big, bold cuts to government. The cuts that really drive my campaign right now are my desire to sponsor legislation to end the war on drugs completely, to roll back current federal spending back to the levels of 1998, which would allow us to completely get rid of the federal income tax entirely.
All right. Well, that's something we don't hear every day, that's for sure. All right. So let's first take a look at the state of affairs with regard to the drug prohibition in the United States. Can you give us some background on what has been the effect of this war on drugs? What has it accomplished?
The war on drugs has been an almost immeasurable social tragedy. I mean, we have the highest prison incarceration rates in the entire world for a supposedly free country. We have a humongous percentage of that is for entirely victimless crimes, mostly drug-related crimes. In addition, the war on drugs has basically been used, has really been used in ways that really single out minorities, and it's really destroyed many minority communities because it's not being really, even though it's a ridiculous policy, that ridiculous policy is itself being applied in just a completely like unfair and completely biased way. So the problems are addiction, just a creation of a mass criminal state, an extremely expensive undertaking. We're talking about, you know, depending on who you ask, between $60 and $80 billion a year being spent on this completely failed thing. So it's a waste of money. It's been a violation of human rights in every possible sense of the word, and it's really absolutely time that we end it.
Okay. Well, I think a lot of people listening to the show agree with that, or at least know that there's reason in what you're saying. Now, let's look at what the opposition claims. They point out what you could say is true about drugs, that taking drugs can have very negative consequences: addiction, overdose, physical or mental deterioration for the people who use them. Will legalizing drugs make these problems worse?
No, I believe that actually many of those problems are being caused directly by the fact that the entire drug trade has been pushed underground and made illegal. If you want to talk about overdose, the simple fact that because there's no standards, there's no commercial standards of any kind. I mean, normally, a company might try to compete by making sure that people know that, for example, that their products don't have any GMOs in them. And in the drug trade, there is no information given. So the chance of there being a massively different amount of a particular drug in sort of a highly cut and balanced out substance. I mean, that's something that's a direct cause, that's been directly caused by the war on drugs. The other thing that the war on drugs does is, because, again, it forces things underground, it creates a push towards harder and harder drugs. The simple reason for that is a given amount of heroin is going to have a much bigger effect than the same amount of marijuana. So the incentive becomes to try to push, because of the transportation costs across borders and trying to smuggle, et cetera, the incentive becomes to try to use whatever's like the most small and efficient substance. So I was going to say that legalizing will actually decrease those specific pressures. And by bringing this in kind of into the open light of normal commerce and private industry, we'll end up with a situation where some of these underground problems that are caused by the underground nature of the whole thing will go away.
Okay, now, did we learn this lesson already through the alcohol prohibition almost 100 years ago?
Absolutely. And the alcohol prohibition essentially created the modern mafias, and, you know, whose legacy continues to exist today.
And so today's Crips and Bloods are basically analogous to the Al Capone organized crime of the 1920s?
Yeah, absolutely. The gang violence we see today, both in America and in our neighboring nations, is 100% being caused by the drug trade. I mean, without the drug trade, there would be no source of revenue for those organizations, and that is their source of revenue, and that is their reason for existence.
Is there any reason to keep the war on drugs or the war on marijuana?
If you look at who sponsors the organizations that want to keep the war on drugs, many of them are organizations that directly benefit from the huge tax expenditures. Prison guard unions, police unions, organizations that have everything to gain from maintaining the war on drugs. But for anybody else, there's nothing good about it. It increases crime. It decreases personal responsibility. It increases dependence on the state, and it's extremely expensive. By ending it, I mean, we could basically reduce taxes right away by, you know, $60 to $80 billion a year.
So is it fair to say that clinging on to this failed war on drugs, this failed prohibition, is being driven by special interests?
I think that it's very fair to say that. I think that is absolutely the case. I mean, a lot of big government is run by special interest, and the war on drugs is a perfect example of that.
And would it be fair to say that parents are should rest assured that their kids are less likely to get involved in dangerous drugs if we end the drug prohibition?
You know, as you know, I work in education. I work with a lot of students, and it's an astounding number of students that have really explained to me just how much easier it is for them to get marijuana than it is for them to get alcohol. I mean, to simply put, drug dealers don't ask for your ID, and liquor stores do. So it in terms of keeping the drugs out of the hands of children, absolutely the best way we can do that is end the war on drugs and completely get that thing out of our way so that we can actually have a normal and reasonable approach to this problem.
Okay. So tell me, in your district in Maryland, the 4th House district where you're running for Congress, who do you know who your Democratic and Republican opponents are likely to be and where they stand on the war on drugs?
Sure. The Democratic incumbent is Donna Edwards, and it currently appears that the most likely top Republican contender is George McDermott. Donna Edwards has, on occasion, seems somewhat keen to favor some kind of decriminalization, but I mean, I'm not even sure where that begins or ends. When it comes to completely ending the war on drugs, which is the correct thing to do, she has definitely not supported that. What my proposals will do is it'll dramatically increase safety, dramatically reduce crime, save a huge amount of taxpayer money, and nothing that she's sponsoring is anywhere in the ballpark of that.
Okay. And how about the Republican? Do you have any sense of where he's going to stand on this?
I actually don't have 100% sense of where he stands on this yet. My guess would be that he's probably not going to be in favor of completely ending the war on drugs. which is, to me, the only correct solution to this problem. This is not something where what the federal government should be doing is just, you know, sort of doing things in a way where we're maintaining the status quo. We should be saving money, we should be saving lives, we should be improving people's health, we should be building real personal responsibility, and that happens when you end the war on drugs.
Okay, so what do you specifically propose to do if you are elected to Congress?
If I'm elected to Congress, as soon as I'm elected, as soon as is reasonably possible, certainly within the first term, without any question whatsoever, I'm going to sponsor legislation that's going to do the following. It's going to completely end the war on drugs. It's going to release all people from prison whose only crime was drug use. It's going to get rid of the entire DEA. And most importantly, it's going to cut taxes accordingly. The immediate results of this are going to be less crime, going to be real personal responsibility, and it's going to be a tremendous savings of tax dollars, of individual dollars, which can then be used for the real productive private sector economy.
Well, you know, I think it's fair to say that neither the Democrat or Republican are going to touch a proposal like this, though we see them weakening and we see some of them getting on board with the decrim of marijuana or medical marijuana. They're always playing it safe, and they certainly don't want to go out on a limb and do something that could in any way not really even endanger their vote so much as endanger their relationship with the special interests, which would include who in a nutshell?
Basically anybody who's benefiting from the war on drugs. In fact, I was actually just about to make the point that you made. It's the voters want to end the war on drugs. Every voter who's really considered this topic, whose goals are to improve safety, improve health, improve responsibility, and to cut taxes, every voter wants to do that. However, it's the special interests that threaten it, and so even though the votes are certainly there from voters, they're not there from the special interests, and the specific special interests are those who benefit: prison guard unions, police unions, and those who are basically would be potential competitors. The alcohol industry also supports the war on drugs, which is an amazing irony, given that alcohol, you know, kills something like 100,000 people a year through various ways, and marijuana has thus far killed zero people ever.
Now, would the pharmaceuticals be part of that list of special interests with a vested interest? I mean, with respect to competing with marijuana as a medical treatment.
Absolutely, and I mean, there's no question that because, if you look at what medical marijuana is able to do, because it allows already existing painkillers to be more effective, it can be used instead of the painkillers from the pharmaceutical companies at a much lower cost. It's threatening the bottom line of the pharmaceutical giants, and so they have a vested interest in opposing an end to the drug war. Again, while they do donate a lot to campaigns, they're not the majority of people, and what the people want is they want to see an end to the drug war.
All right. Well, we're talking with Arvin Vohra, the Libertarian candidate for U.S. House in Maryland's 4th District. He aims to end the war on drugs. His website is votevohra.com. Vohra is spelled V-O-H-R-A. That's votevohra.com. Be sure to visit lp.org to learn more about the Libertarian Party. And please consider joining the Libertarian Party and help us work for you. You can choose to get active, meet great libertarians in your area, and learn ways that you can get involved. Help us end the failed war on drugs, the failed war on marijuana, and help us downsize big government. You're listening to Libertarians Working for You. I'm your host, Carla Howell. We'll be right back.
Save on your prescriptions with the RX Savings Plus Drug Discount Card offered by Voice America. It is not insurance, and discounts are only available from participating pharmacies. But 9 out of 10 pharmacies participate nationwide. Start saving today. Print your free card online at voiceamerica.rxsavingsplus.com or text the word TALK RADIO to 96362.
Want to know what's going on behind the scenes with your favorite Voice America Talk Radio Network host? How about what's new with our network? Make sure you check out the iRadio blog, a look at what's hot at Voice America and beyond. Visit www.iradioblog.com today. Get the inside scoop on every channel on our network, including breaking news, featured guests, blog posts from our hosts, and much more. Make sure you sign up for our newsletter for even more inside action. Visit iradioblog.com today and stay connected.
Now you can take your favorite Voice America radio program with you anywhere. Sign up for our mobile app if you have an iPhone, Android, or BlackBerry. The Voice America Interactive Radio Player, powered by Aircast, gives you the freedom to listen to any of our programs anywhere, live and on demand. No registration is required. Listen to your favorite Voice America hosts and discover new ones. Download the Voice America mobile app for iPhone, Android, or BlackBerry, powered by Aircast. Visit the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
Become our friend on Facebook. Post your thoughts about our shows and network on our timeline. Visit Facebook.com/World Talk Radio. This is Libertarians Working for You. If you wish to connect with our show, please call 1-866-472-5788. That number again is 1-866-472-5788. You may also send an email to comments@lp.org. Here again is Carla Howell.
Welcome back to Libertarians Working for You. We're talking with Arvind Vohra, the Libertarian candidate for U.S. House in Maryland's 4th District. His website is votevohra.com. So, Arvind, let's look again at the special interests that are driving this issue and keeping it stuck. You know, it's times have changed from 10, 15 years ago. It could be 10, 15 years ago for someone to talk the way you're talking would be just so unusual and would really cause a reaction in a lot of people. You know, a lot of people would be, you know, would disagree. I'm sure, and there's still some people out there who will really react to the things that you're saying and defend the war on drugs. But times have changed a lot, and I think people are not nearly as inclined to defend the war. I think people generally know that it has failed. What's your take on that?
I think it's really important for us to distinguish being my opposition to the war on drugs and a belief that drugs are good. I don't think drugs are good. I think that the best way to end drug abuse is to end the drug war, and I think that people agree with me. Even when state houses fail to act, even when Congress fails to act, the individuals in America feel so passionately that this is an insane approach to, you know, personal health, that we see in state after state, we're seeing voter referendums basically legalizing recreational marijuana or decriminalizing marijuana, referendums to legalize medical marijuana. These are all things happening at the very base level. They're not driven by special interests. In fact, they're opposed special interests. So the tide has turned. I mean, most people at this point support a complete end to the drug war.
Well, that's interesting. I definitely have perceived that's true of marijuana. I don't know, haven't heard data on that with the war on drugs, but I trust your assessment of that. I just haven't looked into it. So that's really interesting because that would be a big shift, a very big shift in this country.
Absolutely.
And a welcome one.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, with the people that I've spoken to, and I've spoken to people of all ages across the board, you know, I've spoken to people who hate drugs with an almost endless passion. You know, actually, my dad's one of them. And he, on his own, just brought up the other day, he's like, you know, this war on drugs is just stupid. It's a waste of money. And, you know, when hearing my dad say this to me really let me know that the tide has completely turned at this point. The support for the war on drugs is at this point minimal, and it's really primarily being funded by those who directly benefit from it. The individuals in this country have really just had it with that kind of like nanny state behavior.
Yes, I think so. And I think just these ballot initiatives that you mentioned have been so successful. We now see in New Hampshire in the House of Representatives, the first time ever, just in the last month or two, a legislature actually passed a bill to, I believe it was either to decriminalize or completely legalize marijuana, first ever. Here in Washington, D.C., just a couple weeks ago, a vote was taken to decriminalize marijuana. It still needs a second vote in the city council, and then the mayor needs to sign it into law, which from what I hear is we expect this to actually happen, and we will see decrim in Washington, D.C., which means that'll be very interesting because here we are in the belly of the beast. And congressmen tend to notice things in D.C. perhaps a little bit more than in Detroit or Seattle or Denver.
they can't ignore it as easily. I mean, you know, Obama's really made a show of kind of, you know, turning the other way or just not really making it a big deal or saying he's not going to, although, you know, under the Obama administration, there's been actually an increase in raids on state-licensed medical marijuana dispensaries. But when it's in D.C., he's going to have to make some kind of action, and that's the heart of the federal government. And D.C. going directly against federal law, I think that is such a clear and blatant sign that says that people are unhappy with these federal laws that get in people's way, that increase crime, that waste money. And what they want to do is get rid of those laws, and they want to cut crime, they want to cut taxes, they want to save money, they want to have a stronger economy. That's what people want.
It's interesting that you mention Obama and his effective betrayal on this issue. Can you speak more to that?
Yes. I'm one of the, and I've been registered libertarian for a long time, and I was one of the people that foolishly bought into Obama's 2008 campaign. It wasn't one of my smarter political decisions. And what really inspired me to vote for him in the first place was that here's a person that talked openly and frankly about his own experience with marijuana, and you know, me being gullible, thought that that meant he was going to actually take serious action to end marijuana criminalization, to end prohibition, to end the war on drugs, to cut taxes, all that kind of stuff. But the results were the exact opposite. He increased the war on drugs. He had more raids. There have been more raids on state-licensed medical marijuana dispensary under Obama than under Bush, even on a, you know, per time scale. So there's really just no question to me that Obama and the Democratic Party have really just betrayed those who feel strongly about ending the war on drugs.
You know, it'll be nice the day that we release these poor people in prison who have harmed no one else, the people who are there for drug offenses, and boy, to hear what they have to say. It's really tragic to think of their lives behind bars.
Absolutely. I mean, those are the often, you know, really just unsung, really just like the victims of this war on drugs. I mean, some people have had their lives just completely destroyed for committing no violence on anybody else, for hurting nobody else, for just engaging in a personal recreational decision. And to me, that kind of tragedy is just an unspeakable thing that has been done by this war on drugs. I think that the correct thing for us to do is that to pass legislation that's going to not only end any new arrests, but those who are in prison right now for committing no crime other than using some kind of a drug, that they should be released immediately.
And how wonderful will it be not only for the people who are suffering the most? Well, the ones suffering the most are the ones who actually get killed. And this is no joke. You know, the people killed innocents killed in gang warfare. And you could say some young 12, 14-year-old is often innocent, too, that he got caught up in a gang when he was too young to know better. Mm-hmm. But not to mention the people who were getting harassed on a regular basis just for walking down the street, carrying a duffel bag, driving while black. You know, this America is supposed to be the land of the free, and for these folks, it has not been. It's been a real black mark on the history of the United States.
Absolutely. The war on drugs has become this perfect excuse to hassle and harass any individual or any community that any police organization sees fit to harass. And it's something that really just goes across all different demographics. I mean, one of the most striking raids didn't even happen in, you know, a poor area or in a minority area. One of the most striking raids happened at a raw food co-op, and this wasn't about drugs. But some of these raids that have been done, whether it's about it, have basically vilified personal decisions. And we see these raids on you know, co-ops in California. We see them on medical marijuana dispensaries in California. And, you know, that kind of stuff to me is insane. I mean, you look at the destruction of property and value that could be completely ended by ending the war on drugs. You look at these SWAT team raids where people are terrorized at 3 a.m. for having a, you know, minor amount of marijuana or just having no marijuana at all. Again, could be ended by ending the war on drugs. And there's so many negatives that we could get rid of. And there's so many positives that we could add. Building responsibility, improving people's health, reducing taxes in ways that will actually build the real private sector economy. And all of that can happen from ending the war on drugs. And absolutely one of the things that can be ended is this just hateful persecution of minority groups that has been enabled by this war on drugs.
Absolutely. For instance, the stop and frisk policy in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I love the way these politicians grandstand about how they're reducing crime, but ignoring the root cause of crime, which is prohibitions. Prohibitions cause crime. And they're pretending that their sort of band-aid treatment that, you know, grossly violates the rights of the residents and particularly the minorities in New York City is successful and an excuse for this kind of behavior. But in fact, all we need to do is the right thing, which is and get to the root cause and the war on drugs.
Absolutely. And again, that will, I mean, one of the interesting statistics that I heard is that the Patriot Act has been used 100 times as often for things related to drugs and prostitution as it has been for anything even remotely related to terrorism. So it's not that we can just end these really blatant and violent incursions on our lives, but we can actually dramatically reduce these spy-type, you know, warrantless wire-type typing abuses on our privacy. Again, it really comes down to ending the war on drugs, getting the government out of our lives, and allowing individuals to make the decisions and to build the responsibility that really qualifies as real, independent adulthood.
You've just given me an idea that maybe this would also give some juice to the movement, which has been gaining a lot of momentum lately, to restore our Fourth Amendment rights. Here in D.C., we're spending, nationwide, the federal government, but particularly in D.C., they're spending $75 billion a year for their spy apparatus. There are multiple bureaucracies, huge office buildings that they're putting up, including the NSA, around the D.C. area. They're also building them in other states. And that's interesting that you say a lot of this spying and, you know, other violations of our Fourth Amendment rights under the Patriot Act are not being used for terrorists, but are using for people who've harmed no one else, who are so-called drug offenders.
Absolutely. There's a tremendous pressure on these, you know, just humongous incursions on human rights and privacy. There's a lot of pressure on them to deliver something. And when they can't, you know, find something legitimate, they just try to find anything minor. And they're, the violations of our Fourth Amendment rights and of our personal privacy that's being used for essentially these completely trivial non-crimes, it's just ghastly. And I think that that one of the first steps that we really need to make is just to end the war on drugs and to just take that away, just not even have the option of warrantless wiretapping for victimless crimes. And that to me is, it's the warrantless wiretapping is a complete violation of the Constitution. The existence of victimless crime is a complete violation of sense. Ending one, to me, will lead to a reduction, eventually an ending of the other.
Well, so you, Arvind Vohra, running for Congress in the 4th District in Maryland, will end the war on drugs, will release these prisoners who have committed no violence against another human being, and cut taxes accordingly. That's your plan if elected, correct?
That is my plan if elected, and as a pledge, I will absolutely sponsor legislation to that effect within my first term, and realistically, I'm going to sponsor legislation that affects as soon as I possibly can. So it's not like I'm going to be waiting until the end of the first term. If I can get it out there on the first day, it's going to be on the first day. You know, just as soon as I possibly can, that legislation is going to be on the floor. That legislation is going to be discussed, and I'll be using every bit of media, traditional media, social media, to get the word out there, get the people behind this who really want it to happen, which is basically all the or the vast majority of the individuals in America, especially once they understand the full implications and the full benefits of ending the war on drugs, which is the building of real personal responsibility, improving health, improving safety, reducing crime, and cutting taxes.
All right. Thank you, Arvin Vohra, for joining us today.
Thank you, Carla, for having me on.
Arvin Vohra is a Libertarian candidate for U.S. House in Maryland's 4th District. He's running to end the war on drugs and also to end the federal income tax and other bold measures to downsize big government. His website is votevohra.com. Please check out the Libertarian Party website at lp.org. Please consider joining the Libertarian Party and help us work for you. Help us end the failed war on drugs. You're listening to Libertarians Working for You. I'm your host, Carla Howell. Thanks for tuning in. We'll be right back.